Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams. I can see far down the mountain where I've wandered weary years, often by the ghosts of doubt and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led an airy to the land I hold today. I am drinking from the fountain where I never would abide, for I've satisfied. Well, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures or adorning rich and gay. For I've trod the way before thee and the glory lingers near.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Deciphering prophetical chronology is crucial to accurate interpretation of Scripture. This sermon series will be a study of the 70 weeks of the book of Daniel, chapter 9. The book of Daniel is an Old Testament book of intense prophecy, much like the New Testament book of Revelation. The Lord revealed to Daniel through several visions of secular kingdoms that will rule the earth, and how the Jews and Messiah intertwine. These future kingdoms are known as the times of the Gentiles. The 70 weeks in Daniel is a prophetical time clock that portrays the two advents of Jesus Christ, the first being more chronologically defined, whereas the second is set apart mysteriously. The Apostle Paul wrote, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The Lord's first coming was the fulfillment of the first part of Daniel's vision. But there is another unfulfilled part of the prophecy. There is a second fulfillment that is about to unfold. The Apostle Paul also tells us that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. This event is still future. It is rapidly nearing its fulfillment. especially as we witness the horrific events on the world stage. The globalists, the Nimrod adorers, Mystery Babylon the Great, and all her abominable cohorts are waging war with God, fulfilling Psalm 2, which reads, in part, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." These earthly rulers and great merchants of the earth are in for a rude awakening. They think they are woke, but in reality they are drunk with madness, insanity, and false perceptions and ideologies. Jeremiah, who was also a holy man of God, filled with the Spirit, explains this madness. "Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad." These globalists, world leaders, Marxist Democrats adore the Tower of Babel and Nimrod, her ancient founder, and they aim to restore her to her former glory in absolute rebellion to God. John the Revelator was given a similar vision in Revelation chapter 17, giving us more details to tie the loose ends of Daniel's prophecy. "There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Babylon is still alive, my friends, only it is not in the Middle East, but has transported her secret agenda globally. The world is in the throes of sheer madness with this fake pandemic and now the Delta variant that has locked down the world and caused billions to fear a microbe, yet there is no fear of God and his judgment against the vile sins that permeate the earth. Christian, the Lord has given us many tools to uncover who this great whore is and the beast she rides upon. It should therefore be easily decipherable who this woman is. I'll give you a hint. She declares herself to be the Queen of Heaven, and she's headquartered in Rome. If you missed an episode of this program and would like to review a past radio broadcast, please go to the Freedom 95 podcast page at freedom95.us/podcast or find past sermons on the Crown of Life Baptist Church YouTube channel, and please hit the red subscribe button. The Fullness of Time, Part 4. Jesus came in God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. And he's coming again in God's perfect timing. And his first coming, the first time Jesus came, his first advent, there's a lot more details that could have given a good indication of when he was coming than the second time that he's coming. But but Israel was asleep. They were asleep at the helm. We've talked about that. We talked about that at Christmas time. The wise men, some Gentiles out in the wilderness, out in the Far East, were aware of his coming, the Magi, and Israel was asleep. And they had the prophecies of Daniel. They had Daniel's prophecy, which this lesson is based upon, Daniel's chapter 9, and we get there. And so the Samaritan woman said to Jesus at the well, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." And this is, important. I'll say this again. We talked about it last week. Certified proof against all the deniers of the deity of Christ and those who claim that Jesus never said he was God, answered that woman at the well and said boldly to her, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Am he. He's saying, I'm the Messiah. I'm Christ. I am the anointed one from heaven. And so he confirms that to her. And you know what's amazing? That story is a wonderful story. Jesus didn't do any miracles in Samaria, yet multitudes of people came to hear Jesus preach. That woman led multitudes out of the city to hear him preach and accepted Christ, accepted him, accepted his word, and he didn't perform a single miracle in their presence. And all the miracles he performed in the face of Israel, in all the cities of Israel, and the rejection he got is outstanding. According to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, the Lord revealed a timetable for the coming of the Messiah. Actually, both Advents are revealed, the second being cloaked in more of a shadowy mystery that is still unfulfilled. Two different princes are also revealed. So we have here in the scriptures, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, Daniel is his whole prophecy, and the prophecy that God has revealed to him is based upon Israel. Okay? The importance of Israel in the world today is critical. It's crucial. Yes, the church is important, but Israel is important because God's eye is going to be on Israel some point in time. And the coming back of Israel into their land is a telltale sign of the Lord's return. So 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks. Now, we'll talk more about that and divide that up, but to tell you the truth, I have not figured this part of that scripture out, that part of the scripture, why there 7 weeks is broken up from the 62 weeks, that's 62 weeks, and the 7 weeks, why that is broken up like that. I have not found anything that has given me a clue of why there is that separation. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Okay, here's where we see the twofold prophecy. And the people of the prince that shall come. And we talked about this last week. There's two princes here in view. There's the near prophecy of the Emperor Titus. And then there is also the prince that is the Antichrist that is coming into the world, which is still future. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. If that passage just ended there, you could say that applied to Emperor Titus when he came into Jerusalem, 70 AD,
and destroyed the city, scattered the Jews, and brought desolation upon that territory, that land there. And God, we talked about last week, God turned off the spigot. He stopped the rain so nobody else would move in. And so the land was desolate. And one thing I remember from, you know, and I've told you this before, one thing I remember when we visited Israel. Israel irrigates everything. They have a huge irrigation system everywhere, even the shrubs in the middle of the medians of the highways there, they have irrigation systems. They export irrigation technology to the world. They have advanced irrigation technology, but they still, the rains have been held off because if you go back to the earlier part of that passage, their sins, they're still in their iniquity and their sins. And God's eye is still on the church and not Israel at this particular time. So if that verse ended, verse 26 just ended there and you didn't have verse 27, you would say, well, that surely fulfills what Emperor Titus did. For us, that's historical. For when this was written, that was prophetic. But then you have verse 27 and you say, well, then this has to be also applying to the Antichrist. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so we are seeing this is we learn from Matthew. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to be in Matthew 24. We'll be in Luke 21 a little later. But Matthew chapter 24, it says in verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Matthew is quoting, the Holy Spirit is leading Matthew to speak these words. In Daniel, he's talking about Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. So the abomination of desolations, that's what we see there in verse 27. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So basically the Antichrist is going to declare himself to be God. He most likely will sacrifice a sow upon the altar. There was an emperor that did that many years earlier before Christ came the first time. And so that's a picture of what's going to happen in the future. But he declared himself to be God. He'll declare himself to be God. That's the abomination of desolation, basically defiling the temple. In verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as well was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And this is going to occur in the middle of the tribulation. And we call the tribulation this final week, and we'll talk more about that week and how it translates into years. But the whole thing is a tribulation. But in actuality, the last 3.5 years of this tribulation period, God is going to unleash upon the world great plagues upon the earth. And if you've read the book of Revelation, there are seven trumpets, seven vials, that there are seven abominable things that will be unleashed upon the world at that period of time. And it is going to be difficult for those. And what's amazing is we read those things and the people still blaspheme God. They curse God instead of yielding to God's, you know, to the pain and the suffering and yielding and say, God, you win. You win. What, remember you when your older brother used to twist your arm and put your head in the mud, and you said, okay, I give up. I give up. You know, no, they don't give up. They just continue to curse God, to curse God. And so it tells us, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, not, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. There's going to be believers then. And we told you Jews are going to come to, when this abomination of desolation takes place, the Jews are going to believe the word of God. They're going to believe these scriptures. Because it said there, let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. It says, whosoever readeth, let him understand. They're going to have heard it being preached. They're going to hear it being preached by the two witnesses that are in Jerusalem for 3.5 years. They're going to have heard it from the 144,000 witnesses that God sends through the earth. But when they actually see it, when it actually takes place, there's going to be a great revival among the Jews. And they're going to flee. And they're going to get, many are going to get killed, but many will flee. And they're told to flee and run and get out of there. We've talked about how in Revelation chapter 12, that as they're fleeing, Satan is angry and he sends a flood to try to entrap them and kill them, those people who are fleeing. And the Bible says the earth helped the remnant, helped the woman, being holy New Jerusalem, helped the woman, opened up her mouth and swallowed the flood to allow the Israelites to flee. And a lot of prophecy teachers say they're going to flee to the Red Rock city of Petra, the natural fortified city of Petra. And we've looked at that in the past. And so Matthew is talking about the events there in Daniel in the end time. Nature and scripture are based upon the law of sevens. Therefore, there is a time element that enters into all of God's plan, and that he has a system of prophetical chronology by which God makes known his plans and purposes as to the ages and dispensation. It is clearly observed from the Lord Jesus' reply to his disciples when they asked him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. No man knows. Only God, only the Heavenly Father knows when the time is that Jesus will return to this earth. And so we have no idea. And the disciples asking Jesus, Jesus doesn't even know. The Father knows and is put in the power of the Father, the Heavenly Father. And we understand, like I said, we understand Israel is back in their nation. Okay? That's a bizarre event. Bizarre event. We don't understand how a people who have been out of their land for almost 2,000 years are able to even identify themselves in the world. God has kept them in a sense to keep them in their Jewish traditions, their Jewish religion, and not assimilate into the masses of people and be dissolved and never heard of again. And then they're able to come back together in 1948 and establish that nation of Israel? I mean, that's the hand of God. Suffer all the tribulation that those Jews have suffered through different countries, Russia and Spain and Germany, and still be able to have that distinction in the world, and that they are a people of Jerusalem, and that is their homeland. You hear these groups out here that say, well, Jerusalem, those people in Jerusalem and in Israel, they're not really Jews. Do you want to go back to Jerusalem? Do you have any desire to go back to Jerusalem? Is that in your blood? No, I don't have any desire to go there. It's a bunch of rubble. There's nothing beautiful about Jerusalem or Israel that draws me there. I don't have that heartbeat to go back there. Those people have a desire to be there because that their heritage is there. And they're the Jews. Are they in God's eye? Is God pleased with them? No. He's not pleased with them. But he's allowed them to go back to this country, into their country, and claim that land. Now, who's their big protectorate? Us. Our country has protected them and allowed them the peace, a relative peace, to live there and occupy that territory. Because what would those Arabs want to do? They want to annihilate them. They want to wipe them out, destroy them. From this, we see that there are times and seasons in God's plan for the ages. And we see from Galatians above that Jesus Christ came the first time when the fullness of time was come. In other words, everything moves on scheduled time in the universe, as seen from fulfilled prophecy, that nothing has failed to be fulfilled on time. So we can confidently believe that all that the scriptures foretell of the future will likewise come to pass to the very minute.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.